Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Galatians chapter 3. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. This is the text. Last week I told you that this year in our lectionary series of readings, we will read Galatians 6 weeks in a row, almost the entire letter, which is really a wonderful thing to do. I mean, it's meant to be taken in one reading, really. And Paul's letter to the Galatians, it's this beautiful message of Christ justifying us, declaring us to be not guilty before the law of God by grace, through faith, apart from the works of the law. It's a common theme in Paul's writings, to be sure. Paul says, the law brings to you the reality of sin and curse. He says, for all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. There's no way that any of us can fulfill the fullness of the law of God. We cannot even approach being righteous before Him by what we do. The law always will condemn us. It always points its finger and says, you are a poor, miserable sinner who deserves death and hell. If you think you can be right before God because you're a good person compared to your neighbors, and Paul would like to have a word with you. You cannot be justified by works of the law, but only through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. The righteous shall live by faith, Paul says. Well, this week during vacation Bible school, I changed jobs. For the last 15 years or so, I have been the storyteller, using the puppets to tell the Bible stories each day. And I switched jobs, partly it was time, and partly because I still have puppet elbow from last year. Tendonitis is my kryptonite, I guess. But so I got to take part in the Bible challenge. I really enjoyed doing that. I'm glad we made this change. And one of the parts of the challenge was for the kids to discover the words of Scripture, Psalm 23 in particular. We would do a different verse of the psalm each day. One day we did two of them. And what we had was we had these five backpacks, and there were five little areas that they would gather around. And inside the backpacks were one or two sheets of paper, each with like one, two, or three words on them. And they would put them up on this clothesline, on the clothespins, and we'd do it one at a time. And so when the first person would go up there with their word, it might be, you know, in, they would just make a blind guess as to where it was supposed to go. Of course, some of the words were put up, and they had it right. But they didn't know why they had it right. And they really didn't know whether or not it was correct until it was revealed to them. This is an important distinction. Vaguely talking about God, or using your own imagination to imagine what He is like, or making blind guesses as to who God might be, or what He says, or what His opinion might be, or what He is thinking about certain things, or certain actions, or what we should be doing. Making blind guesses or using your own imagination is not the same as looking to the written word. Out in our greater culture, people talk about Jesus all the time. And I would safely say, now this is a small sample size just of what I hear, but the majority of what I hear said about Jesus tends not to be Jesus, the Son of God, found in the written word. And if you're talking about what you see on TV or on the internet, it is rare to see the Son of God as he presents himself in the written word. He's not simply some great moral teacher. He's not simply a leader of a peace movement or a champion of social justice. When we start guessing about who God is, we tend to make him into the God we want him to be, or more often, we make him into an idealized version of ourselves. There's a common refrain among Christians that we want to be like Jesus. That's a lofty goal, and it's unattainable. And if we try to make that our marker, we're going to see ourselves as perpetually failing before God. When confronted with situations, people commonly ask the question, well, what would Jesus do? That's, if you're going to ask that, you must remember that flipping over tables and driving people out of the place of worship with a whip is an option. But that's not the Jesus that we want to imagine in our minds. We like the painting of the smiling Jesus who has the lamb on his shoulders, the good shepherd bringing home the lost sheep, which is absolutely an accurate picture of who Christ is. But that image does not capture the fullness of who Jesus Christ is. It doesn't capture the fullness of the Son of God that St. Paul speaks about. Who is the Jesus of whom St. Paul speaks? Paul says that he speaks only of the crucified Christ. He does not claim to know anything or speak of anything other than Christ crucified. Jesus is the one who became a curse for us, as Paul says, who carried all the ugliness of our sin to the tree of the cross so that our sin would be buried with him. If you want a more accurate painting of Jesus, the Son of God, one of my personal preferences are, well, there's a number of them, but the classic Renaissance paintings with the crucified and dead Son of God hanging on the cross, having his side already pierced with the spear, gushing water and blood out and being caught in bowls by angels or in a chalice, or there's one in behind an altar in Spain. Can't remember which town it is now, with catching it in their hands. But you see this image over and over again in the paintings of that era. That's the image of Jesus as he is portrayed in the written word. The one who paid the price for the guilt of your sin, a price that you could not pay. That's the Jesus who appeared to St. Paul on the road to Damascus after he rose from the dead, still having the scars in his hands and feet and side. That's the image of the Son of God that we can place our faith in. There's no guesswork about Jesus when you see him hanging on the cross. That sacrifice on the altar of the cross, it's the only reason that you can stand justified in the eyes of our Father in heaven. It is certainly not through your works of the law. As Paul says, no one is justified by the works of the law. It is only in the forgiveness of sin that has been brought through the blood, through that sacrifice of Christ our Lord. That's a point we tried to emphasize during Vacation Bible School Week, that I mean, the theme for the first day was Jesus is the Good Shepherd. And with our with dealing with the 23rd Psalm every day, we would close each day reciting the 23rd Psalm. Actually, we would use it in our opening also, in addition to the other Bible stories. But the image of Jesus, our Good Shepherd, it is appropriate. And he is the Good Shepherd who carries the lost sheep back home. But we recognize that the sheep, they don't have to work for their food or for their protection. Just as you and I do not have to work for our salvation. Christ has done that for us. All the good works that we do, seeking to follow God's law, we do as thank offerings for this gift we've already received. We are like sheep. It is not through any work of our own. As you look at the 23rd Psalm, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He doesn't ask me my opinion on which pasture I would like to lie down in. He doesn't ask me which body of water I would like to drink from. Just as our Lord does not consult me to find out how things should be in this world or what his law should be. He knows what is best for me, and he guides me just as he does you and keeps us from the real danger of sin, the guilt of our sin, and death, which is the curse that Adam brought into the world. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, David says, I will fear no evil. Because Christ our Lord, our Good Shepherd, has overcome sin and every evil. He did it on the cross. You and I stand before God forgiven and righteous. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Those are beautiful words from David's psalm. This is not the sort of promise you receive by doing the things written in the book of the law. You have been saved by the mercy, the grace, the forgiveness of God, who sent his Son to die under the law so that you and I can live under the grace and protection of our Good Shepherd. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.